Mr. President, I've been thinking of different aspects of this conversation while I sit here and listen to all of my colleagues. I don't really want to keep repeating and repeating the same statistics, the same message again and again, but I think it's falling on deaf ears anyway. There are a lot of different arguments here. One, we live in a commonwealth. We live in the birthplace of what is supposed to be democracy in Pennsylvania. My ancestors came to this country in 1635. And in the American Revolution, one of my ancestors, Samuel Wells, died in the Revolution. His son, Samuel Wells Jr., was a captain, fought in the Revolution, later became a member of the House of Representatives in Kentucky, became a brigadier general after that. The legacy goes back a very, very, very long way in my family, as it does with many in this fine institution. To see what's been happening in Pennsylvania, to see what has come of our democracy, of our freedom, is shocking. It quakes us to the core to see the freedoms that have been taken from the 13 million people who live in Pennsylvania. It's shameful. It is shameful. This should not be a partisan issue. It should not be. Freedom is something that belongs to all of us, every one of us. It is something that we want to pass down to the generations to come. And we don't want them looking back on what we have done in what now is a pandemic and realize what we have given up is something. Are we going to be able to get it back? Are we going to be able to look our kids in the face as they grow up and ask us what we did during this time in history? What was it like? What did we allow to happen? How did we stand up for those that rely on us? The millions of people across Pennsylvania who are crying out for help, desperate. They're not Democrats or Republicans. These are people. These are families. These are individuals who can't pay their bills. These are people who are not just business owners. These are people who are entrepreneurs. They're people who put their life savings, their blood, sweat, tears, and treasure into trying to have a better life for themselves and their families. And yes, they want to get back to work. Yes, they want to get back to providing for their families. But you know what? They also want to get back to providing for their employees, the people who become external family to them. They've been working side by side with some of these people for decades and decades. There may be nothing for them to come back to, nothing at all. And that's terrifying for too many people. It's heartbreaking. It's soul-crushing, and we can do something about it. We should have done something about it long ago. In the very beginning of this pandemic, yes, we didn't know much about the crisis. We didn't know much about COVID-19, its effects, how fast it spreads, who it kills. Does it affect just older people? Does it affect children? Closing all of our schools, is that going to protect everyone? The nursing home situation is absolutely despicable. What happened in that instance? We should have been here to protect those people, and we weren't. But you know what? We're here to protect the people today. We can do something. We can move forward. We can actually make a difference today. And a lot of people were saying no other state has eliminated their emergency declaration. Well, yeah, actually, some have. Arizona, I believe, was June the 5th. The emergency declaration it evaporated, it expired. There are others that are going to be expiring in different states. June 27th is one date, July 1st is another. None of them have said, okay, well, it's gonna expire. Now we're gonna have another one for 90 more days. That's not happening across the country, folks, it's not. Pennsylvania has had the most rigid, the most strict control during this pandemic than any other state in the entire country, than any other one in the country. And as the chair of labor and industry, I'll tell you this. I have a conversation every single week with the secretary of labor and industry and the other chairs in those committees. And I have maintained from the very, very first day, the very beginning of the public health pandemic, that our goal should be to protect both lives and livelihoods. These goals are not and should never be mutually exclusive. Through the incredible work of our frontline healthcare workers and the timely support of this legislative body, our Commonwealth has achieved the first half of that equation. We have indeed protected lives. We have flattened the curve. We know that. The numbers show that. But unfortunately, we are falling woefully short in the second half of that equation. This prolonged shutdown, mandated by Governor Wolf, is destroying livelihoods each and every day, many of them permanently. This executive order has caused irreparable harm to some employers in my district as customers have crossed the border into West Virginia, despite this region experiencing some of the lowest COVID numbers in the state, and businesses willing to operate following the guidelines of health experts. Yes, real experts, CDC guidelines, Homeland Security guidelines. Those are the guidelines we have been touting since the very beginning of this pandemic. People of southwestern Pennsylvania are capable, they are creative, they're driven, and most of all, they're compassionate. Business owners, both large and small, want to succeed, but they have been hanging on by a thread. Statewide, our payroll employment has fallen by 17% from March to April, making our drop in employment numbers among the worst in the country. The restaurant industry alone has suffered a devastating blow 9 times worse than what happened during 9/11. 9 times worse. I'll give you a couple more numbers. The regular unemployment claims are over 2,032,000 unemployed individuals in Pennsylvania right now. The Department of Labor and Industry has issued payments to 15,787,646 people, totaling over $7 billion. Let's think about that number. That's a B. $7 billion paid in unemployment compensation claims. And you know what? There's a whole lot of people who haven't gotten a dime from day one because the unemployment system is so overwhelmed. Not to mention the PUA. That's a whole other ball of wax. A huge percentage of those losses could have and should have been avoided. From the very first day, our governor said only life-sustaining businesses can operate. Well, to everyone who has a business and has invested their life savings, their blood, sweat, and tears, that is life-sustaining to them. But instead of saying, let us be sure that anyone who's operating a business can do so safely, without infecting people who may come in contact with them. There are entrepreneurs out there who have ingenuity, and they know a lot of them were able to provide their good or service without ever having contact with the customer. But nope, they weren't life-sustaining, so they had to shut down. They had to shut down. When through their windows across the street, they could see Walmart, Lowe's, Home Depot, any of the big box stores are staying open and providing those goods and services to the people that they used to have as their loyal customers for decades. Generational businesses are shuttered forever. I just heard of a YMCA. I mean, we're not just talking about for-profit businesses, folks. Let's think about all of those entities that are nonprofits that provide life-saving services to our mentally ill individuals. How about all of our Alcoholics Anonymous meetings that couldn't go on? How about Narcotics Anonymous? How about all of those therapy groups, all of those wonderful entities that desperately needed to remain open to help those individuals who so desperately need those kinds of services? The suicide rates are climbing. In California, their suicide attempts in one hospital were 9 times higher than in the previous year. Oh, no, they had a year's worth of suicide attempts in 4 weeks. Pardon me, I got the numbers confused. A year's worth of suicide attempts in 4 weeks is what they saw. We have children who are in abusive situations, locked up behind doors for going on 3 months now. Their teachers don't see them when they come to school because they're not going to school. They're not out in the neighborhood with their friends and neighbors because they're all shuttered at home. Horrific things are happening behind closed doors because of this lockdown. Domestic violence abuse is soaring. Imagine being locked in a home with your abuser, who before now you could get away from going to work, going to church, going to the market, seeing your friends, somehow diffuse the situation. But because of this lockdown, being forced to be behind closed doors 24/7 with an abuser for going on 3 months, that's horrific. Those scenarios are horrific. And I know what that's like because I have had horrific abuse happen in my family with my family members. I can't imagine what it could be like for some of these people that are out there today. It's disgusting. And for some individuals who are saying that what we want is just to open up and have, you know, for our beauty shops or barber shops or to stick our toe in the ocean, that is insulting to the hardworking Pennsylvanians who have been hanging on by their fingernails, hoping and praying to God that please let me open, let me try to scrape together the crumbs that are left of my family business that's been in my family for three generations. Please, God, don't let this be the end of it. Those people who can't send their kids to school now because they've used every penny in their savings to try to pay those employees to keep them hanging on, to pay their bills, to pay their insurance, to pay their overhead when they have nothing coming in. Many of them who could have done it safely, but were not allowed to because of the dictates of a governor who never once consulted with the stakeholders, not once, didn't meet with the leadership of the House and the Senate moving into this, didn't meet with those in the know, didn't meet with the Chamber of Commerce president or the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association or the head of the Automotive Association. No one, no expert was consulted moving into this. And as far as I know, no expert's been consulted how to move out. You want to rely on numbers, you want to rely on science and medical data, fine, let's do it. I'm hoping some of you actually read the article written by Dr. Cyril Wecht. Very, very famous Dr. Cyril Wecht. He said that in his 63 years in practice, he's conducted over 21,000 autopsies. He knows about pathogens. He knows about disease. He knows about disease control. But he also knows about suffering for the people who are in this situation. He knows about the suffering of people who are locked behind closed doors, who cannot go to the hospital for an elective procedure, who won't go to the doctor, won't go to an emergency room for fear of catching COVID-19. They're terrified. So they ignore heart attack symptoms. They ignore stroke symptoms. They don't get that colonoscopy. They don't get that mammogram. The increase, the tsunami of medical disasters that we are going to experience because of this emergency declaration, that's the real disaster. That is the disaster we're waiting for. We can't do this for another 90 days. We can't do this for another 90 minutes. We know how you catch this disease. We know how you spread this disease. We know how to mitigate it. We've been doing it for months. Let us allow the people of Pennsylvania who are responsible, who are compassionate, who are smart, let us let those people free. Let them out from under the boot of a governor who is ignoring all of the stakeholders, who is thumbing his nose at the General Assembly, thumbing his nose at the order of law, thumbing his nose at the Constitution, and what this country was built on. My ancestors, back to 1635, those that fought in the American Revolution, those that fought in the French and Indian War, in World War I, World War II, Vietnam, all of those, in defense of liberty for this country, they're rolling over in their graves at what we're allowing to happen. I encourage, I implore, a yes vote.